Christian Church in Coeur d'Alene, Idaho. Thank you for joining us as we continue our look at the Shorter Catechism, or if you prefer, what the Scriptures principally teach about what man is to believe concerning God and what duties God requires of man. This morning we're looking in particular at question 24, Christ's execution of the office of a prophet. So, in yesterday's video we looked at how Christ is our Redeemer executes the office of a prophet, of a priest, and of a king, both as a state of humiliation and exaltation. And so if this is, as we begin this, let's define what we mean when we say that Christ executes the office of a prophet. So once again, office, we need to keep this firmly before us, the office is that of a superior given to an inferior to discharge a particular task. So, in a mundane sense, the people, the voters, every 4 years elect electors, who we then discharge the duty. We give the duty to elect the president, and then the president, who is now subject to those who have called him, executes the office, does the executive work of the government. And so we could get into all that, but that's the method in which we need to think of the idea of office. It's not being elevated, it's being made subservient. And so how does Christ execute the office of a prophet? So as he becomes a redeemer, as he enters into the office of mediator, so as he's in the covenant of redemption, Christ, or I should say the Son, voluntarily condescended and became subject to the decree of the Father that he would enter into the office of mediator, for which purpose God would then grant him the people. And in the discharge of the office of mediator, or redeemer, one of those offices that he executes is the office of a prophet. So what is a prophet? In the Old Testament, now we often have the popular idea that a prophet is one who predicts what is to happen. But scripturally speaking, a prophet is, especially in the case we think of in the Old Testament, one who is not just predicting, we can say foretelling, but he's also forthtelling. In other words, a prophet is in fact a covenant lawyer. He is bringing forth the terms of the covenant against the people in the Old Testament. Now Christ, as our prophet, yes, he does foretell. We can think of the woes in Matthew 23, for example, those covenant curses against those who reject him. But he also reveals to us, he does this first by his word. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. And he rolled up the scroll and gave it back to the attendant and sat down. And the eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on him, and he began to say to them, "Today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." And so we see that it's by his preaching, by his word, that he is going to execute this office. In the first book of Theophilus, I have dealt with all that Jesus began to do and teach until this day, the day when he was taken up, after he had given commands through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen. So again, he, by his words, by his preaching, by his teaching office. And notice in Acts 1 there it says, he began to do, because what is the commission given to the church? So the church, especially its officers in office, are to execute this by passing on this word, the word once for all given, the pattern of sound words, as Paul talks about it. How shall we escape if we neglect such a great salvation? It was declared at first by the Lord, and it was attested to us by those who heard. And so, as the message goes forth, Christ continues to execute this office, even now, through the offices. That's why Psalm 68, as Paul quotes in Ephesians 4, that he gave gifts to men. Amongst those are the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the prophet, the shepherd teachers. And so again, these word gifts are given to the offices, the officers of Christ Church, to proclaim this word. But it's not just the word. It's not like a posted sign. You know, you can go down to the post office and you'll see on this wall all the, you know, the FBI's most wanted. Or you can go again to the post office and you can see other notices placed on the board. But there's no power to it. Run, John, run, the law commands, but gives me neither feet nor hands. What better news the gospel gives, which bids me fly and gives me wings, as John Bunyan said. And so it's not just that he teaches this, but he sends forth his spirit. If I abide with you, it remaineth alone. But if I go away, I will send my spirit. But when the helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will bear witness about me, and you also will bear witness, because you have been with me from the beginning. And so, excuse me. And so as we think about this, it's the Spirit bearing witness. So it is not a purely intellectual work of being given the Spirit, the Word, and then we have to work it out, as that Christ preaches. Even now he preaches through fallible preachers, but it's because the Spirit is at work in that preaching that there is that effectual calling in those who are saved. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. And so even now his word goes forth as his witnesses to the ends of the earth give it. And so he, with that, inquiring what persons or time the Spirit of Christ in them was indicating when he predicted the sufferings of Christ and the subsequent glories. I have the wrong verse written down there, sorry. But again, we're seeing it's the Spirit making this a reality. And what is it that's being preached in particular? The will of God for our salvation. Many more believe because of his word. They said to the woman, "It is no longer because of what you said that we believe, for we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this is indeed the Savior of the world." And so the Savior has proclaimed, and he sends forth his word and spirit so that we might know, you know, as Peter will say, in the scriptures we have all things necessary for life and godliness. So life, how we are to walk before our conduct before God, and godliness, how we are to worship God, is all set down. Now just Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. And so Christ, by his preaching, even now, through those who proclaim the word, and by the Spirit, brings about this reality that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Thank you for joining us, and join us next time as we continue our look at the Shorter Catechism. Thank you, and God bless.